anybody got the memo or the hint. Yesterday at 3:05 start time, I was listening to you guys on Friday night, and it's like, you know, you guys have kept on emphasizing 3:05, 3:05, and they did the right thing, Murph, by moving it to 3:05, because sure, when that storm started to roll in was when we were walking out of the ballpark yesterday. It was pretty crazy for sure. But I will say this, though, for those of you that were following us on StreamYard, but now on 102.5 Fox Sports, The Gambler FM here in Philadelphia, we were just talking about Bryce Harper. Murph is obviously around the team, Philly's broadcaster. You see his at-bats that he's been taking over at Citizens Bank Park as they're trying to ramp him up, back up for a potential return to the ballpark and to the team on Friday, May 5th. What have you seen? I think Topper said the other day that, like, it looks like his timing's just a little bit off.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guys that they're bringing in aren't just like regular average Joes off of a softball team, a local softball team. And you know, they're bringing guys from AAA that can throw 97, 98, 99.
Yeah.
And it's really changing up his eye level, and they're using the pitch clock on him. Again, you know, before we went live on air, it's crazy to think about this. But from what you see, what are you noticing from Bryce Harper with these at-bats that he's been getting over at Citizens Bank?
Yeah, I think what Topper said is correct. I mean, certainly his timing is not quite there yet, but that's to be expected. I mean, a rehab assignment is just that. You know, it's a chance to go down to the minor leagues and face live pitching and get yourself back and ready for Major League Baseball. You know, Major League Baseball's the way the pitchers throw up here in the big league. So what they're hoping is that Bryce does not have to go down to the minor leagues. They're hoping that they can replicate enough at-bats with enough different pitchers, lefties, righties, high-velocity, low-velocity guys, junk ballers, whatever, anything that he might see in that first week or two playing games with the big league club. If they can replicate that and get him to the point where he doesn't have to go down to the Lehigh Valley and face pitchers down there, that's what they're hoping to do. Whether or not that's how it plays out remains to be seen, but that is what they're attempting to do. And it's really cool to watch because he's gotten about 30 at-bats already when you stop to think about it. And when he was facing Hoffman the other day, who was throwing 97-98 out of the Phillies AAA, a guy who was pitching the big leagues for the Rockies, for Cincinnati, he was throwing gas. And Bryce was, he was late on everything, right? But that's what you would expect, because the pitchers are going to be much further ahead at this point than Bryce Harper's going to be. It's almost spring training for him at this point. So,
right.
But he was able to connect with Ranger a couple times yesterday, so that's been good to see.
The offense has been a bit erratic in the early going here, Murph. You know, hot, cold. But, like, there's a lot of boom and a lot of bust when it comes to this offense. These numbers, again, I put these numbers together yesterday before any games had happened. So the boom, the third in the league in team batting average, first in hits, second in doubles, first in triples, tied for second in extra base hits, second in total bases, seventh in on-base percentage, sixth in slugging, fourth in OPS. The bust, they're 16th in runs scored, they're tied for second in the league in strikeouts, tied for 20th in home runs hit, and 16th with their batting average is 16th with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
You know, I think eventually it's going to straighten itself out, but once they get Bryce back in this lineup, it's really going to help itself, you know, and really fit these guys a little bit more comfortable in the lineup. And it's fantastic, too. You know, we're going to get to this at the beginning of the next segment, you know, once we, you know, in the next couple minutes here. And we're going to talk about the daycare and those guys and what they've been doing early in the early going. But it was nice to see Nick Castellanos get off the snag yesterday with two home runs.
Sure was. And just to go back to your numbers real quick, you're right. It's been hot and cold. Three shutouts in the last,
eight games. Yeah.
But also games where you're scoring 9 runs in the first inning, right? So we've seen the hot and cold. The good news is those numbers that you mentioned on the bust, the 16th in runs scored in Major League Baseball, just last week that was 24, right? So they've gained 8 spots in a week. And I think that's what we're going to start to see. This team is going to score runs. They're built to score runs. And for whatever reason, and I don't know that anybody knows the reason, but for whatever reason, they've gotten out to a slow start. But I really don't anticipate it continuing. And look, they lost Bryce Harper, which they knew, but then they lost Rhys Hoskins. You know, two guys right in the middle of their lineup. And that's an adjustment for any lineup, you know, as good as the guys are that are still playing. They certainly are missing those guys. And then they lost Derek Hall on top of it, another guy that offered, you know, kind of big-time power production. So, but I do think we're starting to see just how good this lineup can be and more consistent. And that's what you need. In baseball, it's all about consistency. It's all about putting together, game in and game out, solid performances, both pitching and from your offense. And we haven't seen a whole lot of that yet, but I think it's coming.
Yeah, plus it's not hitting season, as Charlie would say.
That's right.
But you know what? It's all year round, it's always the season to go to our favorite place, and that is Cheerleaders. Don't hang out alone in the man cave for baseball this season. Try hanging out at Cheerleaders with sexy entertainers, $4 domestic beers, beer specials, Jameson specials, and awesome game day experiences all season long. That's right. Stop in before, during, or after the game, not only to see your favorite entertainers, but also your chance to have the best game day experience. For your epic game day experience is at Cheerleaders Gentlemen's Club, where champions play. Cheerleaders is open daily from noon until 2 a.m. We're going to talk a little bit more Phillies baseball when we come up here in the second segment. And there's also some news around Major League Baseball that is baffling. The Oakland A's moving to Las Vegas. It's going to be awesome, and we're going to see how it works out. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Second segment here on this beautiful Sunday in the Delaware Valley, right outside Citizens Bank Park at Xfinity Live. You guys can see us before every home game down here that right outside of Broad Street Bullies Pub. So you guys can come and hang out with us. Say hi to Murph. You probably want to get a picture with him. You don't even want to have anything to do with me. But you do want to have something to do with our friends over at Premier Window Cleaning. They are the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Family owned and operated for 30 years. They offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check. At Premier Window Cleaning, your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy. With clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Chop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania, you cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of their services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or go to their website, wehatedirtywindows.com. That's wehatedirtywindows.com. All right, so we teased it going into break there, but the early going right now with what is happening with the Phillies offense, thank you, is what's going on with the kids, the daycare, as they like to be called. And they really take full force with that, Murph. I love it after every single win. Bryson Stott, Brandon Marsh, Alec Bohm. What was it? When Nick Castellanos was the player of the game? It was Mundo Sosa on Friday night. And they're dumping water on him and Diego, who's the interpreter.
Yep.
And Alec Bohm is sitting there throwing seeds at them. And it's entertaining when, like, for years, all we talked about was how the Phillies had nobody coming up through the minor leagues. And obviously, Logan Ohapi was a part of the deal to get Brandon Marsh here. But to see the fruits of the labor and the amount of years that the Phillies struggled, third overall pick with Alec Bohm and then Bryson Stott doing what he's doing, the kids have come to play. It's been exciting to see, especially here in the early going. Big time numbers from these guys.
Yeah, it's interesting. In back-to-back weeks on the pregame show for our minor league report on Saturdays, I had Preston Mattingly on last week, and I had Dana Parks on this week. And they're 1-2 in terms of Phillies player development, the director and the assistant director of player development for the Phillies. And, we talked a little bit about how nice it must be for their team to see these young guys that have come through the system, the guys like Bryson Stott, guys like Bailey Falter, that have come through and are making an impact and made an impact last season.
Christopher Sanchez yesterday.
Christopher Sanchez, yeah.
Solid start from him.
Absolutely. And to both Dana and Preston spoke about it very eloquently and talked about how simply it's the best part of their job, getting a chance to watch a guy that has come through the system, that they have, their team has developed and made a, these guys are uber talented when they arrive, right? But you still have to develop, right? You don't arrive, very few people, maybe, one in a hundred come to the minor leagues ready to go in the big leagues. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Andrew Painter.
Right. Guys like Andrew Painter, Shohei Ohtani, Bryce Harper, but they're few and far between. Most of the guys have to go step by step and get better at the double-A level, then get better at the triple-A level, and learn some things. And that's what most players do, and that's what player development is all about. And for years, the Phillies struggled with player development. I mean, and it's not sustainable. We're lucky that we have an ownership group that will go out and spend money on free agents and bring big-time talent in, but you can't sustain that long term. You need to develop talent if you're going to be a club that's going to be in the mix each and every year. And that's what this team is trying to do with Dave Dombrowski and obviously under the leadership of John Middleton. And they're getting there, you know? It's a slow process. It's a colossal undertaking, but they're getting there.
Yeah, just some of the numbers here. Let's start off with Brandon Marsh. Sixth in baseball for batting average, seventh on base, third in slugging, second in OPS, only behind Matt Chapman of the Blue Jays. Bryson Stott starting the season on a 17-game hitting streak, which broke the franchise record of 16 that was set by Puddinhead Jones.
Puddinhead.
I mean... What a nickname that is.
He's a good player.
Right? 10th in baseball with a .344 batting average. Alec Bohm is hitting .308 and tied for 14th in baseball with 6 RBI. Nice to see the kids in the early going, man. It's especially because, like, up until yesterday, and this is actually on the run sheet. That being said, need the big money bats to hit their stride. Trey Turner with one home run. He's now tied on the team with Christian Pache. I wasn't expecting that yesterday. If Schmitty is, my buddy Schmitty is listening to the program, he knows that right before he came to the plate, I said, this guy doesn't have any power. And then he hits a 421-foot home run to dead center. And Castellanos batting cleanup with none. He has two yesterday. 3-for-4 day. Another double. Leads the league with 9. And JT with 2 home runs. You know those guys, and you've said this the last couple of years that we've been together, Murph, that normally by the time you get to the end of the season, the back of the baseball card replicates what these guys are going to do. I just want to see a little bit more pop out of Trey Turner. 5 home runs in the WBC here in the early going. I think that high and in fastball, he's going after that way too much, and that's the swing and miss. That's the strikeout pitch on Trey Turner right now. It's the book on him.
Yeah, it is. But guess what? He'll make an adjustment because he's a good player, and that's what good players do. And you're going to see a week where Trey Turner hits 4 home runs in a 7-game period, and like you just said, by the end of the season, Trey Turner's numbers are going to look very similar to what they always look like. And that's a guy that hits for a high average, hits for power, drives in runs, scores a ton of runs, which is why they went out and got him and gave him the kind of contract that they gave him. There's no concern, zero concern about Trey Turner right now and where he's going to end up in terms of production for this team. In fact, there aren't many guys at all. I mean, short of injury concerns, there's not anybody I'm concerned with at this point. I'd like to see Aaron Nola start to kind of lock in, because I don't think he's locked in yet. I'm not sure we've seen Zach Wheeler lock in quite yet as well, although I have a feeling today he is going to be outstanding. I had an interesting conversation with JT Realmuto just about a half hour before we started the show. And, we were talking about Zach and about how he, even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's the kind of guy that can often figure out a way. And JT was saying, that's so true. He said that's a unique ability for a guy. He said some days he's the 97, fastball blow right past you kind of guy. And other days he's not. And as a tandem, the two of them, they have to figure out how to get guys out. And he said, but Zach does that as well as anybody. So if that's a special gift to have, for sure. I think Zach's going to be terrific today. I really do. I wouldn't be shocked if it's like a two-hit kind of performance today.
Yeah. What a Sunday morning for you. You get to talk to JT Realmuto, and then you get to come across the street and talk to me.
That's right.
It does not get any better than that.
It's getting better and better and better. Yeah.
I only said that because I wanted to see if Quimby was paying attention.
Apparently he is.
Aaron Nola was actually the next thing that I wanted to talk about. You gave up a 3-run home run on Friday night in the first inning, but then he settled in. He hit 7 innings, 94 pitches. Some people thought that maybe he should have came out in the 8th inning, to come back out there, and he had a little bit more to give. But it was nice to see him settle in. I think that's the first time that Aaron Nola has looked comfortable this season. I mean, two blue pits and then a 3-run shot to center field. But he settled in. He got himself together. Caleb Cotham had to come out in the 6th inning to kind of, settle him down with runners on first and second. But he didn't give up a hit past the second inning. Three walks, only 3 strikeouts. How close do you think we are to seeing the real Aaron Nola? Because I know he's not, notoriously, he's a slow starter. But are we closer to it, or do you think it's going to take a couple more starts before we inevitably get there?
No, I think we're pretty close. It wouldn't shock me if, as I said, the next time around he locks in and has a Aaron Nola kind of outing. I think the pitch timer, surprisingly, really, in my opinion, the pitch timer has affected Aaron Nola maybe more than any of the other pitchers on the team.
I agree.
And I'm not sure why that is. I mean, I know Aaron was a guy that liked to collect himself when things weren't going well and, you know, throw over, get a new baseball, whatever. So maybe he's overthinking it a little bit. You know, hey, I can't slow it down. I have to keep pitching. And he gets himself into a little bit of trouble. But what I do think they're figuring out is there are ways that you can slow it down a little bit. It's certainly not going to be like it was. But again, ask for a new baseball. JT could stand up and step in front of the plate, call some signs, you know, those kinds of things that it will allow them to get an extra breath or two. But, you know, Aaron's too good of an athlete. He works way too hard in the weight room and out on, you know, in the outfield in conditioning to be concerned that he's just going to wipe himself out. That's not going to be the issue. It's probably more in between the years at this point. And with each start, we're seeing it get better and better. So, yeah, it's just a matter of time. And hopefully it's his next outing. I mean, that would be terrific.
It would be awesome. Quimby is joining us. He's the first time that he's back on American soil in the last, 2 months since the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back from the Dominican Republic. It looks like Quimby would like to chime in.
I busted your chops about Aaron Nola a few days ago. And you sat there and defended him like crazy. And then you posted something yesterday. Well, so I just wonder what side of the fence you're actually on.
Here's the thing. I'm a reverse psychology type of guy, because what happened was is when I did that, he settled in and pitched six great innings after that. And then,
all right, well, can you do that with some officiating in the NFL? I mean, come on. Let's go.
And then I called it.
I can't be helped.
Actually, you know, well, then I called out the offense, and then the offense, you know, Schwarber ties the game, and they wind up winning on Edmundo's walk-off. You know who normally does this to me? I feel like they read my posts. Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, every single time I trash that guy on Facebook, then he goes out there and he throws four touchdowns, no picks, perfect quarterback rating. It just seems to happen. But you know who's like near perfect this season? Jose Alvarado.
Oh, he's been
unbelievable. This guy, 9 1/3 innings pitched this season, 4 hits, no walks, 1 earned on the Jorge Soler home run a couple weeks ago, 18 strikeouts, 3 saves in a row. The guy's the closer right now for the foreseeable future. I know Kimbrel got the lockdown yesterday with Jose having the day off. But Alvarado, you see it up close and personal every single day. From his return last year from AAA to now, outside of that pitch that he threw to Yordan Alvarez, who's going to get you every now and then,
he's
the brave salt the other night. But this guy's been lights out.
He's been, I think you can make an argument, he's been the best reliever in baseball through the first couple weeks of the season. So he's been outstanding, and that's exactly what you need.
Murph got the volume turned
on. Yeah, you didn't like my comment on Jose Alvarado. So anyway, I think certainly in terms of this season, Jose has made a case for being tops in baseball. And, you know, to have a weapon like that is just, it's just ridiculous. And you know, he's not walking anybody.
Which used to be his MO.
Yeah, and to throw as hard as he does, he's going to get a ton of strikeouts. So it's been fun to watch.
Murph, I want your opinion on this. It looks like the ownership of the Oakland Athletics have purchased some land in Las Vegas. Looks like they're going to start to build a ballpark out there. This seems to be the movement now in professional sports. Teams that are going to Vegas. And it's a shame for the city of Oakland, because now they're going to lose two teams to Las Vegas, because they already lost the Raiders. They're going to lose the A's.
Their city doesn't deserve any teams.
You're talking about Vegas? Or Oakland. Oakland. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the fans don't show up. They're not there. Even
when they're good.
Right. And it's a shame. I mean, they're 4-17. We're a few years away from them actually moving to Las Vegas. I think for a guy like Quimby, who obviously runs the Green Legion, Phil's Fever, it's been awesome to see, like, when he runs these road trips, and that's a great destination. I mean, the Phillies are out in Vegas.
Sure.
That's a great, you know, location for you to take a group of people to. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, as far as the A's are concerned, there's a lot of history in Oakland, and it's going to be taken away because you have nothing left there. I mean, you lost the Warriors to San Francisco. You lost the Raiders to Vegas. There's nothing left there. How can you not say that you can fund and put in a new ballpark in the city of Oakland?
Yeah, I think as much blame gets laid at the feet of ownership out there and the city as well. You know, the fan base, you're right, they don't show up. But, you know, if you look back, I saw a graphic not too long ago where they were showing the games, how many games for each season that the A's drew more than 25,000 a game. And for, you know, the last couple of years, it's like 6, 4, 7 games, you know, which is unbelievable, right? But if you look back to when they were pretty good about 10 years ago, it was 30, 31. You know, so the fans were coming then. They simply, they just don't commit to putting a winning team on the field. And at some point, it's hard to blame the fans for just saying, you know what, we're done. We're not going to watch this.
Bad ownership, yeah, bad team.
Absolutely. And it happens everywhere in sports. So I feel bad for the fans in Oakland because they're going to lose another team. But, you know, I think it's the right move for the franchise. And you know, hopefully they commit to Las Vegas and try to put a winning team out there.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. At that point, they're probably going to spend some money.
Well, I hope so. We'll see.
How does that work, by the way? Here's a guy. All right, I don't remember the name of the owner in Oakland, and it doesn't even matter. But
the figurehead's Billy Beane. The guy that you know.
Here's a guy that refuses to spend any amount of money, and he's not going to get taxpayer dollars to cover a stadium.
No,
where all of a sudden is this influx of dollars coming from that you didn't spend on players over the years to get you over the hump?
I don't know for a fact, but I would imagine it's coming from the city of Las Vegas, right? That's who's ponying up the money because they want a Major League Baseball team in Vegas.
Is that what's happening?
Everything else is working.
Because I'm just wondering if this guy's, you know... peppered his change away for the last 30 years.
I don't think so. I mean, I think Vegas probably went to them and said, hey, if we build you a stadium, will you come? Kind of thing. And obviously ownership, a brand new ballpark where you're getting sweet dollars and a brand new city. I mean, they stand to make a ton of money in a new ballpark in Las Vegas. So, you know, ultimately he's going to be the winner in all this if it works out in Vegas, which it probably will.
Speaking of Vegas, and we're going to make our picks now because we're going to lose Murph for our final segment.
So. He doesn't have to go to work.
Yeah, it might.
So, Murph, we both got off to rough starts last week to start off our season. You were 1-2 with 1 point. I went 0-2, but I got no points on my third pick because there was a rainout between the Tigers and the Giants. So I'm going to make
a fourth
pick.
So you won.
Tonight.
Okay. You'll get an extra pick today.
I get an extra pick today. Yep. So why don't you give me your three picks, and then I'll give you my four, and then we'll head to break.
Okay, first up is my favorite today, the Brewers and the Red Sox getting together. The Brewers are minus 184 on the money line, and I'm taking the Brewers to win that game over the Red Sox. I think they win that game easily. The Brewers are playing well right now. They're a pretty good team. All right, so then the underdog, White Sox over the Rays, okay? Unpopular pick. The White Sox are plus 135, Zach Heflin and Lucas Giolito, but we saw Lucas really shut down our lineup the other day. If he comes out and pitches that way, he could shut down the Rays.
Good luck doing that against the Rays lineup because they've hit a home run in every game this season.
Going to stop eventually.
Set the modern record.
Going to stop eventually. So I'm taking that as my underdog pick today. And then the over-under, it's 7.5. Cubs and Dodgers, I'm taking the over. I know it's a pretty good pitching matchup there. Kershaw and Stroman both have been pretty good this year, but I think they go over 7.5. So Cubs, Dodgers, over under. There you go.
Speaking of just real quick, how the perfect game ended for Drew Smiley the other day, what a shame.
Yeah, that was tough. I'm not sure they would have gotten him. That would have been a tough play, but still. It was a shame.
I'd never liked Yan Gomes, and that just further did it for me. No one's thrown a perfect game since Felix Hernandez, by the way. I think that was 10 years ago at this point. My first pick of the day is going to be my underdog, Astros, plus 120 to get the sweep in Atlanta. Christian Javier against Max Fried. I'm going to take the Astros. It's not often where you get them at underdog dollars. I'm taking them today.
Okay.
My favorite is the Orioles at home, minus 175 against the Tigers, also going for a sweep. Grayson Rodriguez is pitching, their top pitching prospect. I'm going to take the Orioles to finish off the job. The Tigers are terrible. My over-under for this week is Phillies-Rockies today. Over 8.5 runs scored.
Ooh.
Now, that's a high number for a guy like Zach Wheeler being on the mound.
Yeah.
I think majority of that is going to be the Phillies today against Urena. I think the Phillies are going to come out. They're going to be swinging the bats high.
7-3 win kind of thing?
Yeah. Something like that. And then my final pick to make up for the other day, for last week, Blue Jays-Yankees. I'm going to take the Blue Jays at minus 135 at Yankee Stadium. Kevin Gausman's on the mound today against, I think it's Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt stinks, and that Blue Jays lineup can rake, so I'm going to go with that.
All right.
Coming up in our final segment, Quimby and I are going to talk a little bit about what he's been doing the last couple months, and has he watched any baseball at all? So I might have to throw him on my back and carry the conversation right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Murph, enjoy the game today.
All right.
Great broadcast.
Talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next week, and we are heading to break. Thank you very much. We are going right now after these messages. Final segment here, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, Sunday morning here at down at Citizens Bank Park, Xfinity Live, right outside Broad Street Bullies Pub. Make sure you guys come on down, check us out as we are taking you into Phillies baseball today at noon as the Phillies are looking to go on their first three-game winning streak of the season. You've heard that correctly as we try to climb back to 500.
You won a game today. Wait, what was it?
No, Lou Brown.
Yeah, hold on.
I think I broke that out last week.
You won a game today.
You win tomorrow. That's two in a row. That's a winning streak.
You won a game yesterday. You won today. You win one tomorrow. That's called a winning streak.
You know what? A place that you can go and win is down there at the Ludlum Hotel in Seattle City. Make sure you guys go down there. Check them out at 4000 Landis Avenue in Seattle City. Yes, it's the old La Costa, the complete renovation finished. You will now see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend's Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering fresh local seafood cooked simple to ensure the flavor that already exists stays that way. The hotel is open year-round, and all guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags for all registered adults, walking distance to everything. Check out ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, L-U-D-L-A-M, hotel.com. Or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Hotel, your new oasis in Seattle City. And it's going to be even more packed in about a month when we're coming up fast on Memorial Day weekend. Crazy how fast time seems to go. And it's, we're actually going to get to enjoy a bit of spring this year. I feel like we go right from winter into summer too frequently and too often.
Well, God bless global warming.
we got like a dusting of snow this year in winter. It's incredible. I know you weren't around for it much, being out of the country the last couple months.
Did it even get cold? Was there any like cold spells?
Couple stretches, but it was like a day or two. It wasn't like your normal like 2 to 3 weeks where it's just unbearably cold.
Right.
You would get it in like a couple days here, a couple days there, but for the most part, like I was putting the kids in like hoodies for the most part during the wintertime instead of putting them in jackets. But it's pretty crazy. But man, the weather today is gorgeous.
It's all right.
No, it's perfect.
It's all right.
It's right where I want it to be.
It's all right.
It's not Dominican Republic perfect.
By the way, all right, Dominicans in baseball, I mean, they are absolutely crazy.
They love baseball.
You want to see a group of people just imagine our sports bar, Strikers at Barcelo.
Good times.
And the World Baseball Classic. And you have a bunch of Puerto Ricans in there on vacation just ripping the Dominicans when they beat them in the World Baseball Classic. The Dominicans just completely distraught. Like, all the air was taken out of their lungs. Like, oh my God, Dominican isn't going to have a chance to win the World Baseball Classic this year. We're done. We have nothing else to celebrate.
I'll tell you what, man. Like I followed the World Baseball Classic since its inception, back in 2006. And every time they do it, it gets better and better. And this year was, I guess, because it's been 6 years.
It's an international All-Star game,
right? But it's incredible how the fever pitch. I mean, you could see it from all over, through Japan and Korea and all the way here in America.
Those guys are starting to become a pain in the ass, huh?
Well, it's. 6-1, half a dozen for sure. But Quimby, how much baseball have you been paying attention to? Have you seen any of the new rules that they've been implementing? The new pitch clock has taken off a half hour average game time.
It's good. All right, because and
2 hours 35 minutes was from first pitch yesterday.
Good.
2 hours 35.
Good. Guess what? The sick
Russ Taylor.
Russ Taylor in the house.
Schwarberfest.
Honestly, you can blame the pitch clock on one person?
Steve Traxel.
Nope.
The human
Ryan Lincoln. Howard.
What? No.
Ryan Howard.
No, if you're going to blame a hitter, it's Nomar Garciaparra.
Well, okay. Whatever. All right.
Or Bryce Harper.
Close to home.
Or David Ortiz.
Big Poppy.
Yeah, all, those guys.
I'm completely down with it. I get it. You know, you're probably going to see concession prices raised as a result.
Well, they're already, Milwaukee's serving beer now through the eighth inning.
Well, good. Then, you know what? If you're only going to have that amount of time to do it, then go for it, you know? It's not as if any of these Aramark employees are actually trying to determine whether or not somebody had too much to drink. And if they can't get up and get a beer, they're going to get their buddies to do it. So, you know, it's not like they're worried about people coming out of the stadium hammered, all right? So just let it go. If that's what you're worried about, just let it go. But baseball started to become painful to watch. All of the repetition, all of the little ceremonies in the batter's box. Just get up and hit the damn ball. Stay in a box and let's get this thing going. All right, I don't want to see you adjust your wristbands. I don't want to see you spit on your hands. I don't want to see you shake your shoulders. Get in there and hit. I'm down with it. I love it. NBA has got it right. Games don't last any more than 2.5 hours. Shouldn't have to. The only game that should last more than 2.5 hours is football. That's it.
It's once a week.
That's it.
My whole thing is, if you're going to do these rules, you're going to implement them. Like, my favorite one is no longer can you do the shift. I couldn't stand the shift. You know, I complained about that for years. I like the fact that they took that out of the game. Everybody, every sport has done that. A cornerback can't put their hands on a wide receiver after 5 yards. You know, you could press.
Oh, we know.
But, well, yeah. I mean, if you listen to Dallas fans with.
Thanks.
But like, you see how the rules are slated for more offense. And for years, I couldn't stand the fact that you could just, like, it's like slow pitch softball. You could stick a guy right out there in shallow right field and you're taking away base hits. They need more action. They need more doubles. They need more triples, more stolen bases. And you see here in the early going, especially now that you can only throw the ball over 2 times. You throw it over a third time, you don't get him. It's a balk. He moves to second. So now you're taking away the attempts. The bases are bigger. Stolen bases are up.
Of course. So if you go over once, I'm taking a huge lead. Sorry, I'm going. If you throw over once and I'm on first base and I have any speed whatsoever, I'm going. The next pitch, don't care what it is, gone. Love it. Yeah. Love it. More offense is good. Something hockey needs to learn, too.
Well, it's gotten better with that, too. Over the last 5-6 years, hockey.
Don't even scoring? Start talking about
scoring
hockey.
Has gone up?
Yeah, great. No.
We could talk about it on the draft show on Thursday night. Right,
we'll have plenty of time.
Speaking of the draft show, make sure you guys are tuning in with us as Green Legion Radio. We'll be doing the draft show here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler and on iHeartRadio. We start at 8 o'clock on Thursday night.
And be prepared tomorrow. Tomorrow we will be releasing on social media our draft day contest. We're going to be able to pick draft players in order. I believe the way we're setting it up, I'm not sure yet. I got to talk to Brian. But you'll be able to, if you get the first pick right, you get 1 point. If you get the 20th pick right, you get 20 points. Whoever has the most through 20 will win a trip for two to your choice of either D.C., Or either one of the Swamp Games in New York.
Nice.
This upcoming football season.
Servers the best Mel Kiper or Todd McShay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. Are we still looking for sponsors for the show as well?
Yeah, we could use one. Okay. I mean, we don't have any right now. It's okay. I have not been actively pursuing, so.
You are back on American soil now, so you do have a little bit more time in your hands?
I might sleep for the next 48 hours, to be honest.
Can you believe it?
A two-run game-winning 3-7 home run! Can you believe it? The Bills of
Can you believe the fact that we just blew everybody's ears off here?
Yeah, everybody right now is looking over going, what the hell
Talk
are
about
you guys
exposure.
Doing?
Well, the good thing is we only have a couple minutes left on this pro. So, can you believe it? Two things that we found interesting from this past week in Major League Baseball. I'm sure Quimby doesn't have any over there, which is okay. I didn't prepare him for it. So I'm just going to give a couple before we go off air here. Listen, this segment appears to be the Shohei Ohtani show. Because this guy is incredible. He does something insane every single week. This is from Baseball Doesn't Exist, which on Twitter, so at Baseball Doesn't. Third time through the order, batters are hitting what against Shohei Ohtani this season?
No clue.
Zero.
Really?
They have not hit him at all when he gets into the third time through the order. It's absolutely insane. And I'm going to dive into this a little bit more with Murph next week because I don't envision anything happening differently over the course of the next week. But buyer's remorse in San Diego, since the trade for Juan Soto, okay, it has not gone as advertised, nowhere close to what he was in Washington. He's batting 176 this season. All right, since joining the Padres, he has 10 home runs and 25 RBI in 74 games. All right, he was batting
Wait, say that again?
10 home runs, 25 RBI in 74 games as a Padre. All right.
RBI or RBIs?
RBI.
RBIs.
Yeah, it's RBI.
How many is it?
RBI. Runs batted in.
RBIs.
So you don't pluralize it. This is something that Jason Stark has done in the past. But
Jason Stark's an asshat.
I love Jason Stark. He's fantastic. But he was batting 218 overall through this past Monday's game in his first 70 games of the Padres. They gave up a ton. He's due for an extension after the 2024 season. Right now, that trade is a flat-out bust. Now, we'll see how things go because Fernando Tatis Jr. just returned the other day. So we'll see how that lineup takes shape. But right now, Juan Soto as a Padre has been a complete and absolute bust. Buyer's remorse for sure?
Yeah, you know, it's San Diego. And I don't know. You're talking about a team that was irrelevant for so long. So long. And now they're starting to spend money. And
which is good.
It's good for baseball. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, it goes back to kind of what we were talking about with the Oakland A's. Where were you? What were you doing?
Right.
All right. And did you finally figure out that if you put a decent product on the field, people will come? I'm sorry. It's sure the fans. No fans deserve anything other than Philadelphia fans, but. As far as
it's like they were a forgotten team for 15 years. Like, yeah, once Tony Gwynn retired, you never heard anything about
your ownership. Doesn't deserve squat,
right?
You don't deserve any success because you screwed your fans for years. The Miami Marlins, if they're ever good, I'm going to be pissed because they don't deserve it. Their ownership is terrible.
Lou deserves it.
Who gives a damn? No, you know what? He deserves the paycheck that he's getting because he has to put up with an empty stadium 81 times a year. I really, over the course of doing this for two decades, and the Richards in Atlanta that I've had to deal with, the communique, the getting banned by certain NFL teams because, you know, they actually think they know what they're doing. I really, really believe there needs to be a committee. If you can't figure out how to win in any of these leagues within a 5-year period, you do not deserve to own a team, whatever sport it is. Padres were one of them for a long time. The fact that the Padres are good now, I just want to, if I'm their fans, my question is, that's great. Where have you been?
Yeah, it's kind of like they rode the coattails of Tony Gwynn for all those years. And then when he retired, it was like, okay, cool, we're going to pack it in for a little bit. They had a couple years in between like that.
They made nothing like the last few years. No noise whatsoever.
Nothing like the last few years, for sure. That'll wrap it up for us here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. For John Jansen back in studio, my partner Murph, who had to leave early, Quimby producing here and taking over for Slash, Super Sam Brady for setting up the StreamYard at last minute for me. I really appreciate you. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio. We will talk to you on Thursday night for the draft show with the Green Legion Radio team. Looking forward to that with Irving Fryer at 8 p.m. Murph and I.
And no Diaz.
And Murph and I will and Murph and I will be back from 11 to noon next week, as Murph is in Houston and I will be in studio with either Slash or Jansen. But thank you all for tuning in and listening to us on this beautiful Sunday morning here in the Delaware Valley. And like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Let's go, Phils.